The following is a presentation of the High Spot Podcast.
The following contest scheduled for one fall.
If I can be serious for a minute, without being interrupted.
Excuse me!
What? What?
The measuring stick just changed around here, buddy. You're looking at it.
We don't just set the bar. We are the bar.
Making their way to the ring, talking about the world of professional wrestling, the team of Jeff Martin and the trendsetter, Brian Perga, the Jersey Wrecking Crew.
Do I have everybody's attention now?
You are listening to the High Spot Podcast, Ring of Honor, Final Battle Special Edition. I am the trendsetter, Brian Berg. I thank you guys so much for listening to this episode. So excited about it. We have the Fallen Angel, Christopher Daniels, on. Couldn't be more than, I'm completely fanboying on this one, but so excited to have him on. We're going to talk about Final Battle, his match, because he's one half of the Addiction with Frankie Kazarian going up against War Machine, and what a match that's going to be. Also, we talk about, you know, the comic book world. We talk about the holidays and what he's planning for Christmas. Talk about his illustrious career, all 25 years of it, what his plans are for 2018. That's just a small glimpse of what we'll be talking about during this interview. But if you guys want to follow us on Twitter, follow us on Twitter at the High Spot Podcast, as well as Instagram, Snapchat as well. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/highspotpodcast. Don't forget to leave a 5-star review. We are also available on SoundCloud as well. Leave a review, a comment. Let us know how we're doing and what we could do to better it, because we do this all for you guys, the crew. We're also available on SoundCloud, Google Play, Stitcher, and Podbean. Don't forget to visit the networks we're a part of as well, and we thank them for that, especially during this holiday season. Shining Wizards Network, as well as B Plus Player Radio Network. Don't forget to visit our website, brand spanking new, as Jeff likes to say, highspotpodcast.com, all just one word. And also, we have a YouTube channel too. Finally, a YouTube channel. You get to see my ugly mug and Jeff and I talk to the best of the best in the world of professional wrestling. On there right now, we have Santana Garrett and Jordynne Grace from our visit to Battle Club Pro, celebrating their anniversary there in Ridgefield Park, New Jersey, as well as the adventures with the trendsetter. I kind of went outside on my own, venturing out to see what I could find. And where I ended up landing was Exotica in Edison, New Jersey. And my interviews, you'll see them right there, and you've seen them on the Twitter page as well, with Jessa Rhodes, adult film star Jessa Rhodes, Lena Paul, and Angela White. So I hope you guys enjoy those too. A lot more to come in the near future. And who knows, maybe this will lead on to something more Comic-Con, maybe other events that you guys will hopefully enjoy, because if we find it entertaining and good, we really strongly believe you guys will as well. So let's dive right into it. You know, talking about the fact that Jeff and I, in our last episode, were so excited that, you know, it's just a huge boom of professional wrestling, especially towards the tail end of 2017 now. It feels like there's so much more stuff to do. Jeff and I are always constantly busy, which is a good thing, folks. You know, it sucks when you have nothing to do and you're just sitting there wondering, you know, what should we do? Should we order a pizza? Should we go out to a movie or something? It's great to be busy, and to be busy doing something you really enjoy, which is covering the world of professional wrestling. So last year, we so badly wanted to go to Ring of Honor. Unfortunately, we were a little too late and delayed in the whole process. We didn't end up getting the tickets, and it was sold out. There's no doubt in my mind that Ring of Honor Final Battle at the Hammerstein Ballroom in New York City is sold out as well. So the only way you're probably going to be able to watch it is going to ROHWrestling.com and ordering off of there. I think it's $35, guys. Pretty good deal. You're going to see a great show. And if you love just in-ring professional wrestling, you're going to love the professionalism of Ring of Honor. So it's going to be exciting, that, and to go down there for the first time for Jeff and I, it's going to be like an early Christmas present, early birthday for me as well, and a great way to end the new year going to Ring of Honor as well. So I couldn't be more excited that we're going to go to the event. We're going to see this. It's going to be the first time in my life to be able to see Christopher Daniels perform live. I've had the opportunity to meet him and talk to him at a WrestleCon convention in Orlando, Florida, when he was the Ring of Honor heavyweight champion at that time. Now it is currently on Cody, just Cody, no Rhodes. And so it was really great to talk to him and Frankie Kazarian, the Addiction, in person, and just a very humble guy, very down to earth, and also very appreciative of the fans that come up to him and talk to him and really enjoy his body of work that he's done for 25 years in the wrestling business. So really excited to have spoken to him and talked to him for a little bit because, hey, it's always great to meet your idols. It's always great to meet people you admire a lot. And to me, nobody personifies hard work and dedication like Christopher Daniels. So enough kissing his butt. We'll get right into it. So we were very fortunate enough to get him on the show and basically talking about a lot of things. But the first thing I want to talk to him about, which I know he is a huge comic book fan. He loves the Marvel DC worlds. And I can agree with him, too. I love it, too. It's maybe for me sometimes a little bit of an escape to get away from everything and kind of go into a different world and enjoy and live vicariously through these characters, which are larger than life, which is very similar to professional wrestling. When we see these characters perform on whether it be WWE, whether it be Ring of Honor, Lucha Underground, New Japan Wrestling, all the indie promotions that Jeff and I have not been a part of, but also have had the ability to cover as well, which is, you know, WrestlePro, Battle Club Pro, Pro Wrestling Magic. I mean, it's been amazing that we've covered those three events, and it seems like the list is just going to get larger in 2018, which Jeff and I couldn't be more ecstatic about talking about, but we'll talk about that in a later date. But, you know, we talk about the world of professional wrestling, we talk about his career, we talk about, you know, future opponents, what's in the future for a guy like Christopher Daniels, his mindset, his ability to keep himself relevant, but also allow himself the ability to reform and reimagine what the Fallen Angel will be, and using social media as that tool right now, where unlike, you know, his debut in 1993 is a huge tool not only for himself, but for anybody else coming within the business of trying to promote and branding themselves. So we had Christopher Daniels on the High Spot podcast asking him about the world of the comic books, and this is what he had to say. All right, guys, really excited to have our next guest coming up here right now. He's a man of many talents and many names. One of my favorites, the Fallen Angel. He is none other than Christopher Daniels himself. Christopher, thank you so much for coming on the show. How are you?
Very good, man. Thanks for having me on today.
Ah, pleasure's all ours, man. First thing I need to ask and get out of the way, first and foremost, how has the holiday season been treating you? Have you done with all your Christmas shopping?
Absolutely not. I don't know anybody that's done with their Christmas shopping this early. Like everybody in America, we're waiting to the last minute. So I got some stuff to do once I'm done this weekend.
Exactly. I mean, hey, you're used to high-pressure situations, so the holiday season is no different, right? So another thing I want to ask you, too, how is the back feeling right now? I saw you going through the flaming tables, Cody putting you through the flaming tables at Ring of Honor, Survival of the Fittest. How is the back feeling right now?
I'm 100% healed, man. I'm ready. It's like it never happened. I got the clearance from my doctor a week ago. So, yeah, man, it's like it never happened, dude. I must have mutant healing powers like Wolverine.
Exactly. And speaking of that, too, I mean, with all the movies coming out nowadays, I mean, you've had the, you know, the Guardians of the Galaxy, you had now the, you saw previous to the Avengers coming out, you know, the Justice League's coming out. I mean, in terms of movies, I know you lean more towards Marvel. You like Logan, Wolverine. I couldn't agree with you more. It's one of my favorites as well. Has the genre of movies done the comics justice, do you think?
Yeah, I absolutely think that, especially the stuff on the Marvel series themselves has been really good stuff. I'm looking forward to seeing Black Panther in February. I think the recent Thor movie was real good. And I've enjoyed just about everything I've seen come out of Marvel and even the Fox stuff. Like this year, Logan really stood out as far as the Wolverine movies went. So yeah, man, I'm hard pressed to find one I'm not happy with.
Do you feel like DC is still trying to catch up to Marvel? Because that's what it feels like for me.
Actually, I thought Wonder Woman was very good. You know, head and shoulders above everything else. I've liked Justice League. I'm gonna have to see it again. I think just to sort of see if I really enjoyed it as much as I think I did or not. I sort of walked away with an average feeling. And so I'm gonna have to go see that again and see if I actually did like it or if it was just a fluke.
Yeah, well, again, you know, that's the excitement when it comes to those movies. There's so much anticipation. But one thing that we're really anticipating is obviously Ring of Honor Final Battle. Wouldn't it be a podcast if we weren't talking about wrestling and having you on the show? Because I love talking about other things, but let's focus a little bit on wrestling here. You're going to be there with your good friend, your best friend, Frankie Kazarian, The Addiction, going one-on-one with War Machine. And in terms of anticipation for this, I mean, how excited are you to be on this card and how excited are you right now to end the year with a final bang at Final Battle?
It's not about excitement for me at this point, man. As far as I'm concerned, wrestling matches, it's my job. And so I'm looking forward to going in front of the Ring of Honor faithful, people that have sort of turned their back on me and Frankie Kazarian, and sort of showing them that they made the wrong call when they sort of cut me and Frankie loose. So, yeah, I'm going out there with the mindset that I'm going to take this up-and-coming tag team war machine, and I'm going to ruin their upward trajectory when it comes to professional wrestling, and I'm going to prove to Ring of Honor that we're still the best tag team in the business.
Well, definitely you don't lack confidence. I'm sure anybody who bet against you would be pretty foolish to do so. I know myself, I'm rooting for you guys, knowing that you guys are going to be mopping the floor of War Machine. But something I've always been interested in, Chris, and I've been a huge admirer of your work and everything you've done throughout the course of your career and you know what you can still continue to do. For me, I always find it interesting when Jeff and I have talent on the show and we talk to them, talking about you've been in this business for 20-plus years, and you've always found a way of, one, reinventing yourself and keeping yourself relevant, which is a difficult thing to do. But most people always talk about the learning curve and how large of a learning curve it is. From your perspective and your experience, do you still find it at this stage in your career that you're still learning things, you're still evolving as not only just a performer, but as a person as well, in being in this business for as long as you have?
Absolutely. I definitely feel like there's stuff to learn. And part of the challenge for me after 25 years is, surrounding myself with guys that are at the top level and pushing myself to remain at that level with them. So yeah, I definitely feel like there's stuff to learn. There's stuff to adjust to. And because the business itself is always adjusting and evolving, and anybody who sort of sticks with what they learned in the first 5, the first 10 years, they're going to get left behind.
No, it's definitely true. You have to evolve. If you don't evolve and adapt, then you're going to be left behind. That's my feeling on the subject as well. But when it comes to the fact you say you've been doing this for 25 years, 25 glorious years in my opinion, but it seems like nowadays, since Jeff and I have been covering this, it seems like wrestling, it goes through its peaks and its lows at times. But I really feel right now that wrestling is at a very high peak right now, where there's so much out there. I think a lot of people who watch the mainstream or the global juggernaut, which is called WWE, usually think that's the only game in town. But in reality, Ring of Honor and New Japan, you know, what they're doing in Lucha Underground, which is kind of a different version of professional wrestling, all over the world, even the independent scenes, have just really boomed up. And I think a lot of that has to do with social media. I mean, back in 1993, even early 2000s, there really was no such thing as, you had MySpace, but now there's Facebook, Twitter, YouTube. Do you feel now more than ever, how important is it for you, and how important would it be for somebody up and coming to use social media to their advantage? Because it really feels to me it's become now the modern day business card.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with you. Like you said, 93, the early 2000s, part of the job for me was just getting my name out there. But in this day and age, there's not really any well-kept secrets in professional wrestling now. With the advent of YouTube and social media, if someone sort of catches a little fire in terms of their career, everybody finds out about it pretty quickly. It sort of behooves the up and coming wrestler to sort of take advantage of how available everybody's eye and ear is on social media and on the internet overall, to sort of get their name out there and to let everybody know, they're the product that they should be, that people should be aware of. In my day and age, I was sending out radio tapes to prospective promoters that I wanted to work for. But I mean, now it's as easy as texting a link or emailing a link to a YouTube match, and people find out about, up and coming talent way quicker now because of it.
Not only young and up and coming talent too, but also I've noticed the pattern too. It seems like it's going to be more of a way of just the way it's been so far, that, most people who make it, and I guess their end dream is to make it to WWE. And now you've seen, for example, a perfect example might be Cody Rhodes, or in this case, just Cody. And you see Drew McIntyre leaving for a while and coming back and really reinventing himself, and certain releases from WWE or people leaving for an extent of time because there's no space for them to do anything else. They want to kind of venture and hone their craft elsewhere. Do you think now that's the pattern that's happening now, where a lot of talent maybe not necessarily young up-and-comers, but people that are kind of midway in their careers, trying to find something, can now have other avenues of honing their craft besides the big name that everybody wants to talk about, WWE?
Sure, absolutely. I feel like Cody is a perfect example of someone that had that opportunity and found that the marketplace was a little too crowded for his creativity to sort of blossom. So he took a chance on himself and he went to the independent scene. He went to Ring of Honor. He went to New Japan. And now he's one of the most popular wrestlers on the planet without the machine of the WWE behind him. And I feel like a lot of people's goals, like you said, were to go to the WWE only because for them, that's what wrestling was growing up. Mm-hmm. Me personally, when I was growing up, wrestling to me was the NWA. And so, like, my personal goal was never really WWE, or my end game wasn't WWE. My end game was just wrestling overall and being able to support my family and make a living doing what I love to do. And so, you know, WWE wasn't so much a destination as a possible avenue for me to do that. And so, like, for me, over the course of my career, making a living in TNA, making a living in Ring of Honor, making a living on the independent, those were just avenues for me to fulfill that dream of making a living wrestling. And I think today, you know, there's gonna be times when people, in terms of making a living doing what they want to do, they'll find that the WWE isn't exactly the best place to do that. I mean, it certainly has for some people been the avenue for the most success. But you look at the Young Bucks as well. They're a perfect example of an act that found success outside of the WWE without the machine behind them. And, you know, I think more and more people, as you spoke to the boom of professional wrestling as a whole, as more people are finding that there are things other than WWE as far as professional wrestling, so too you're going to find wrestlers that are finding more and more success outside of the purvey of WWE.
When it comes to professional wrestling, something I've always respected and admired, and obviously I can only see it from one perspective because I'm obviously not in it, so it's different when you're actually in that type of business and field as opposed to being an admirer or looking from a distance. But the daily grind, not only physically but mentally as well. Now, having a career for 25 plus years, it's obviously taxing on the body and the mind too. What do you do? I mean, you just spoke about how your back's healed, you're cleared, you're ready to go, supposedly finding the fountain of youth, right? What do you do from a daily basis at this stage in your life to kind of keep your body healthy as you possibly can? Because from what I can tell, you're still doing basically everything you used to do 20 years ago. And it's an amazing feat for some people because, you know, a lot of people think they just keep going and doing the daily grind but don't realize how important it is to take care of the body.
I mean, I found out long ago how I needed to sort of treat myself in terms of working out and recovery, the sort of things that I needed to do to stay at the top levels with, like you said, the grind sort of taking its toll on you. So for me, you know, I found out a lot about yoga and stretching and recovery. I do a lot of full body workouts, you know, just sort of keep myself in the best shape that I can. I take the time to recover as best I can after I've had wrestling matches. And, you know, fortunately for me too, I've never really been on the serious grind like a lot of guys on the WWE schedule right now. You know, I'm very fortunate that the Ring of Honor schedule, the schedule that I've had for the last couple of years, it gives me time to sort of recover when I have injuries such as, you know, the burns that I suffered in the match at Survivor of the Fittest in Dallas. You know, I wrestled the next night, yes, but I had an opportunity to come home and heal. And, you know, now I'm 100% again. And so that sort of helped out the fact that I wasn't on the every week schedule like a lot of people are. So, I mean, that sort of has helped add years to my career as well, having the opportunity to have downtime to sort of recover from the bumps and bruises that I get from matches here and there.
Talking about recovering the body, how important is also to unwind yourself mentally as well? Because when you're in it 100%, just like, for example, I'm in certain things and I dive 120 million, if that's even a number, percent in, because that's just the only way I know how to do it. So when you do have those times to kind of sit back and recuperate not only the body, what do you do to unwind mentally to make sure you stay as sharp as you possibly can be?
Well, I think a lot of that for me has to do with surrounding myself with the right people. You know, I'm fortunate enough to have a good set of friends that sort of keep me grounded, and my family as well. I mean, I always remember that, you know, when it comes down to it, this is just a job, and I never let it get too, I never gonna let it get too serious where I take it more serious than I should take it. You know, in the end, this is just work. And so, you know, I remember what's most important, and try to keep that in mind as I go through my daily schedule.
You're right. I mean, sometimes you have to treat it as a job and know that when you leave, like, for example, when certain people get home and leave work and go home, they've left work there and they don't bring that home with them. But, you know, something that I, you know, that doesn't mean that, for example, you're not passionate about this to begin with either, because I remember you winning the Ring of Honor championship, defeating Adam Cole. And, I mean, you know, it's been a good amount of time since that happened in terms of reflecting on it. And I'm sure you've been asked this question time and time again, but I'd be a fool not to ask you myself personally, because I remember seeing it, tweeting about it, and how much it meant to me to see that happen for you from a fan's perspective. Was it a sense, maybe, in terms of the emotion? I know, for example, you didn't think at that time it would happen, because, you know, you're 100% focused on just being in the tag team with Frankie and being part of the Addiction. But in terms of that, was that a sense of maybe a relief? Like, maybe, oh, I can finally let go of that one thing I didn't feel like I was going to do, and a sense of validation when it was all over? And you had a moment with the title to say, hey, I did it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I had no idea a year before that was the path my career was going to take. It just so happened that, you know, at the end of Ladder War, you know, I think that there was a feeling of an opportunity for me to have one more chance for a title shot. And so it just so happened that it all worked out in my favor. But yeah, I mean, like, you never know how the path of your career is going to go. And so I was very fortunate that, you know, things went the way it did for me. And yeah, it's definitely something now, as I look back, to say, okay, well, this is something that I've done. And, you know, there are still things to do in professional wrestling, but that's one that I could sort of scratch off the list and, you know, move on to different things if I need to.
Something I'm always curious to, Chris, and I thank you so much for speaking to Christopher Daniels here, the Fallen Angel. What I'm always interested in is from the perspective of the professional wrestler, the performer, the talent. What's it like from that side of it? Because, for example, I've been to signings, I've been to events where they're there, and it's very easy for the fans, hey, I'll include myself in it, to be starstruck, because you're like, wow, this is Christopher Daniels. Do you see it from their perspective? Because you said to you this is a job, which is great, but at the same time, do you sense the connection you have with the audience?
Absolutely. I mean, I'm very well aware that even though this is, you know, how I earn my living, it's also a way for people to sort of, you know, it's a form of escapism that people go through. You know, we're in the end, we're all entertainment. And so I've been very fortunate that people have used my career and the things that I've done in the ring to sort of help them through, you know, what could be tough times. You know, some people, a lot of people use different entertainments to sort of escape the daily grind of their own life. And so I've had, you know, people come up to me and say, you know, they've watched me for a certain period of time and how much they appreciate what I've done for their own entertainment. So yeah, I'm well aware of, you know, how the bumps and bruises that I go through, it affects people different ways. And then, you know, and I tell fans all the time that I appreciate them putting as much effort into coming to see me as I put into when I walk down the aisle to a ring and wrestle. You know, I've had fans that have followed me for more than 20 years. And, you know, that to me, it means a lot that people have sort of taken me into their lives and look at me as something that they can enjoy and something that they sort of hold dear to their heart.
You spoke of wrestling as, you know, evolving every single time, and like I spoke before about the boom that professional wrestling seems to be in right now at this stage at the end of 2017, leading into 2018. For you, what are factors of the business right now that you feel have gone for the better, and what factors of the business right now do you still annoy you, still kind of, you know, still a sore spot with you that you wish could improve?
Oh, well, I think the positive of professional wrestling is that it's become so much more accessible to fans. You know, it's much easier for fans to sort of find the version of pro wrestling or the form of pro wrestling that they like the most, whether it is WWE or Ring of Honor or New Japan or the independent scene. I mean, there's countless ways that they can sort of find their favorite stuff. And as far as negative, there's not a whole lot negative that I deal with. You know, I wish that, you know, it was a little bit easier on our bodies, but I mean, that's sort of the path that we've all chosen as pro wrestlers to sort of undergo. You know, and I've been very fortunate that injury is sort of, I've avoided major injury for the majority of my career. And, you know, that's sort of something that we all sort of go through, that the downtime that comes from the grind and wear and tear and the injuries that we go through. And then, you know, so for me, it's been sort of minimal.
And that's great. And it's been great for us to be able to watch you, because, you know, to not see Christopher Daniels on TV would be a shame. But I know eventually it will happen, Chris, but hopefully not anytime soon right now, because I know you said you're kind of weaning away. It's more than years. It's more than months for you. But hopefully it lasts a little bit longer for us. Selfishly, as the fans, you know, hope that we still continue to see you perform, or at least in some part of the business. Is that another avenue you think about right now as you feel like you're winding down in your career? Have you been thinking now of what you might want to do afterwards? Do you still want to be a part of the business? Because I know I noticed that, you know, you got a degree in theater. And to me, I found that so fascinating because, you know, in terms of your character and persona, it's done so well with so much commitment behind it. Is even acting outside of the business something you prefer doing?
Well, yeah, definitely. I mean, at this point in my career, I've sort of branched off into stunt work. I've done some things, and living in California, it gives me avenues to audition for certain things. I've also, you know, started working at Universal Studios at the Waterworld Stunt Show. And I mean, that sort of has opened doors into stunt work and stunt performing. So these are all things that are things that I've, you know, started to undergo or started to think about. But in the same time, I feel there's a lot that I can give back to professional wrestling as a whole. I've been very fortunate that Ring of Honor has given me the opportunity to sort of help the company overall, help the young talent. And, you know, I've been able to do a lot of seminars through Ring of Honor in the past year. And it's probably something I'll continue to do in the future. You know, it's still... even though I feel like I'm closer to the end than I am to the beginning, it's still a ways off. There's not really like
Thank God.
A set number in my head.
Ooh, thank God. Sorry,
of,
it was just me.
Yeah.
I was just wiping my brow there for a second. I'm sorry, I was a little scared there.
Oh yeah, no, I'm. You know, this is still what I love to do, and this is still how I earn my living. And so, you know, I'm not looking to quit anytime in the near future. And, you know, as long as I can stay healthy and still have fun, that's the goal. So, I mean, it's still a ways off. And there's no, like, set number in my head. Like, oh, I'm only going to go another, you know, year or 2 years or 6 months or whatever. It's still an undecided number.
I got you. I understand. But again, like selfishly for me, I never had the pleasure of seeing you perform. I've met you a few times, you know, at conventions and things of that nature, but I never had the ability of watching you perform. So I'm so excited for Final Battle because I'll finally have the opportunity to see you and Kazarian. I've seen Kazarian perform once, but I've never had the opportunity to see you. So I'm definitely excited to see that, to go down to New York City, the Hammerstein Ballroom, and see that place rock, to see the Addiction literally wipe the floor of War Machine. But you mentioned you do seminars more frequently. What's the, if there is one, I know it differs from seminar to seminar and person to person, but what's the one main thing you constantly get asked about?
Well, so much of it, it's it's sort of the basic question is, how do I make it? You know, that's what everybody's sort of looking to do. And I tell guys all the time, there's not like a set formula. It's not like baking a cake where you have all these ingredients in a set amount and you mix them the right way and we all get the same thing. It's going to be different for every wrestler. And so I tell them all the time, the only thing that I can tell you to do is, you know, go out and work as often as you can with as many different people as you can, for as many different promoters as you can, because it's when you become comfortable with yourself as a performer that it doesn't matter who you're in the ring with. If you go out and meet that person for the first time and then later that day go and wrestle a match with them, if you can go out and have a good match with someone you've just met, that's when you become a commodity to a promoter. And so it's just a matter of sort of becoming comfortable with yourself and knowing that's the brand that you're going out and honing and crafting the brand that you yourself are. And that's how I feel young up-and-coming wrestlers sort of have to look at things. If they can get comfortable with what they do in the ring, no matter who they're in the ring with, that's when promoters start to look for them as you know, possible performers on their shows.
Definitely. I mean, branding now becomes the main thing everybody's talking about because you're actually going there and selling yourself to promoters. But talking about, you know, young talent asking you, how do you make it, right? If it was only that easy, like you described before, it was like baking a cake, man, everybody would be successful and everybody would have made it. It doesn't work that way, unfortunately. But for you, in your career, for example, I know young up-and-comers always have that self-doubt. I mean, anybody has self-doubt within themselves about anything they're doing. At any point when you started feeling comfortable with who you were as a person, as a character, as an entity, did you reach the same type of scenarios where you started kind of doubting yourself, not necessarily in the ring, but in terms of your ability to, I guess, like be marketable or be like a top guy in some people's minds?
Well, it was really just more of how do I convince someone that I'm the right guy for their position? But I mean, I was also very fortunate, especially on the independent scene, when I moved out to California, that a lot of independent promotions on the East Coast where, you know, sort of the independent scene was sort of flourishing, a lot of promoters saw value in flying me out. And so I was very fortunate to have so many people want to use me on their shows. And that sort of led to, you know, Ring of Honor and TNA sort of using me at the beginning of their, you know, when those companies sort of began, that was why I was available to them. They gave me those opportunities. So, I mean, I was very fortunate in that sense that, you know, people wanted to use me then. And, you know, it's sort of at the position now where, you know, young wrestlers want to be. They want to be in a position where these promotions that are getting buzz are starting to use them and brand them as their top talent.
Here we are with Christopher Daniels. When it comes to, we had spoken to Sienna from Impact, and I brought up a really interesting question, and she gave me a pretty interesting answer. I just kind of want to get your perspective on it. I asked her, does she have the ability at this stage in her career, still early in her career, to kind of sit back and to enjoy the ride, to maybe sit back and maybe enjoy all their accomplishments? Because sometimes for some people, they're so worried about the destination, they don't have the ability to enjoy the journey to get there. And before you know it, it's over and you realize, wow, I didn't really get a chance to have fun or to really embrace the moments because they're coming few and far between. So she's like, I can't even really say that I even made it because she doesn't know what that means. In your mind, when you hear somebody say, oh, I just want to make it, like at the seminars, and make it is what? Is it in their mind probably being famous, being, you know, giving all these followers on Twitter? In your mind, was there a specific moment that you said to yourself, I've made it myself, I've made it? Is there a particular moment that you can remember?
Well, again, it all depends on what your goal is. And I mean, everybody sort of has to be realistic about their own goal. For me, the goal was to earn the living wrestling. And so in 1999, I got busy enough on the independent scene where I couldn't hold down a regular job anymore. And so the wrestling became my job. And it's been since then that I've been a full-time wrestler and earning my, you know, my entire paycheck, my entire living from, you know, professional wrestling. So for me, that was sort of the made it moment. But I mean, it also too, you know, signing my first contract with Ring of Honor, signing my first contract with TNA, those are watershed moments for anybody when you've got the stability and that assured paycheck in your pocket. You know, that those are watershed moments for anybody. And so I've been very fortunate, since 99 to have professional wrestling sort of be my living. And, I've been fortunate to have different companies, you know, give me the opportunity to make that living from working for them. And so, yeah, for me, those were the moments that I sort of was good, you know, the fruit of my labors, you know, working on the independence and sort of making that name, signing those contracts were moments for me like that.
Amazing. I can only imagine what it felt like to do that. Definitely a successful career. It would definitely be a success in my book, though. To talk about Ring of Honor real quick, I know everybody sometimes feel there's always a pattern where everybody's trying to mimic and copy, you know, what WWE does. What separates Ring of Honor from the rest of the game in town right now? What separates Ring of Honor in terms of a brand from other promotions out there?
Well, I think it's sort of the thing that Ring of Honor has always made important. It's the in-ring product that Ring of Honor has always sort of focused on. I mean, we have a 1-hour show right now, so there's not a whole lot of time for a lot of in-ring shenanigans, a lot of promoting, a lot of behind, backstage talking. Mm-hmm. You know, it's really more about the wrestling itself. And so that has sort of been our avenue to sort of go down in terms of how we sort of stand out from other wrestling promotions in the world right now. And that's, that's something that in 2018 we'll examine and try and continue to do. How do we stand out from WWE and New Japan and, other promotions like Lucha Underground you mentioned? How do we stand out from all that? And so those are things we deal with. What talent do we have that makes us different? How do we promote ourselves differently? Those are all different things that we're looking at in 2018 to do differently and continue our success.
Chris, when it comes to your career, if you can kind of take a step back and look at everything you've accomplished, is there one or maybe two particular people you say, man, that's probably the rivalry that can define my career? Who would it be with?
It's hard to go down to one moment or one thing.
No, it could be a few. It's hard to pinpoint one, I know. But if there were a few moments you'd say that match or that individual I was with, if I wanted people to go back and take a look at my work, that's what I want them to see.
Well, I think for me personally, the two guys that I'm, in terms of opponents, the two guys that I'm most sort of aligned with are AJ Styles and Samoa Joe. And I mean, with their success in WWE, I feel like, people know that if they see my matches with those guys, they're seeing great work. And so, especially AJ, the feud that I had with AJ over the course of, 10 years in TNA and on the independent scene, I think people sort of look at that as sort of watershed wrestling, watershed moment for pro wrestling. And then, in the past couple of years, my tag team with Frankie, we've been involved with matches with the Young Bucks that I feel, 5 years down the line, people are going to be looking at in the same manner. The feud between the Young Bucks and the Addiction is going to be something that people will sort of point to as a landmark in the time period of tag team wrestling.
All right, Chris, I'm going to give you a question that's going to be pretty difficult, but I would appreciate an honest answer, okay? So say I'm Marvel, and I say, I want you to direct, produce, do everything of this new Wolverine Logan series. We're revamping it all over again. Who do you have playing Wolverine? If you could cast anybody, who do you have playing Wolverine?
Oh, man. I have no idea, man. I mean, it's such a big shadow that Hugh Jackman is going to cast on anybody that tries to play the character after him. if I were Marvel, I probably wouldn't mess with it for a couple years, especially following what he did in Logan this last year.
Oh,
it's sort
amazing.
Of ridiculous to even think about finding a new guy to play him at this point. It's probably something you want to wait probably 3-5 years to even consider.
That's fair. I completely agree with that. I'm a huge Batman fan, so it's always difficult for me to find, like, to me, I always want the unknown actor, because at least I'm not looking at somebody. For example, I think Ben Stiller did a pretty good job in Batman versus Superman, but all I could see was Ben Stiller. I couldn't see Bruce Wayne, in my opinion. I thought Christian Bale did to me, a perfect rendition. To me, Michael Keaton will always be Batman to me, though, in a way. But all right, say, for example, you can't pick a certain person to cast as Wolverine, since Hugh Jackman did such a great job. What kind of angle would you want to portray it? Because, for example, with Batman and Wolverine and all the reincarnations and types of versions that have come out in the comics, what do you feel you'd want, you know, Hollywood to kind of showcase of Wolverine that we haven't seen yet?
Well, I don't know. They've sort of gone through the origin in the very first solo Wolverine movie, and then you know,
did you like that one?
Going through, there were parts I liked and parts I didn't like. You know, I appreciated that they sort of tried to make the origin of Wolverine available to a wider audience than the comics. But there were some parts that I didn't really enjoy. Mm-hmm. You know, there's plenty of stories I feel that really haven't been done. But especially now that the upcoming, I guess, Disney and 20th Century Fox sort of merger is happening. There's talk of, bringing the X-Men and possibly Fantastic Four into the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Mm-hmm.
I think definitely Enemy of the State is a pretty neat comic story that could be adapted into the movies now, with that sort of idea of having the Avengers and having the Fantastic Four be a part of Wolverine's story as well. So, I mean, that's a possibility.
Ooh, got me interested on that. I'm already hooked on that to see if that would happen. But say WWE would call you and say, we want you to work a program for WrestleMania, your only time in WWE, and we know AJ's there, you've done great work with Samoa Joe. Say it wasn't somebody you had worked with previously, although I think if you worked with AJ now in WWE programming, it would be amazing. Is there one particular person on that platform that you would want to work with that you never had an opportunity to work with? Chris Jericho, I think you mentioned before.
You always wanted
to work with Chris Jericho?
Yeah, I mean, I've mentioned Chris Jericho as a dream match for me. And, you know, I feel like that's going to go by without ever happening, unfortunately. But I mean, yeah, that, like, definitely Jericho would be a top choice for me, just as someone that I've admired and sort of been inspired by. Yeah, there's not really, that would be cool. It would be an opportunity, something that I haven't done. But yeah, there's nobody that really stands out that, you put me on the spot. There's really nobody that comes to mind. The easy answer for me would have been AJ, just because of the history. And there's not really a whole lot of other guys that I have that history with, but I feel like if I had that opportunity, I could have gone in there with anybody and put together a compelling series of matches with anybody. And that was sort of the goal, was to be able to go in and work with anyone.
Talk about compelling. What about this whole Jericho Alpha versus Omega for Wrestle Kingdom 12? How do you look at that storyline, how they're building it in terms of using social media? I mean, I think this is the new evolution of how rivalry is going to be built.
Well, I think for a company like New Japan, it sort of is incumbent upon them to get the word out, because New Japan isn't specifically, going out and trying to get the English language audience for the Tokyo Dome specifically. So, I mean, it sort of falls to Kenny and to Chris to sort of build up that match for the American public, for them to be interested in. And I think they've done a great job so far. I feel like, you know, in the past couple of years, New Japan on its own, with their reputation for professional wrestling, has made Wrestle Kingdom a destination for real wrestling fans to sort of watch. But now Kenny and Chris have made it sort of like must-see television for real wrestling fans, people that have heard about Kenny and heard about his reputation in the past year or so. now they're getting to sort of put him up against someone that they're very familiar with in Chris Jericho and see this dream match that they're putting together.
Chris O'Daniels, ladies and gentlemen, I'd be remiss if I didn't say thank you enough times, but again, I'm not going to ruin your ears by saying that a million times, but I do thank you for spending a few minutes of your time with us to talk about Final Battle, Ring of Honor, and all the things going on in the world of professional wrestling and the comic book world as well. Last question for me, what does the future hold for Christopher Daniels in 2018, do you feel?
Just continued success in Ring of Honor. You know, Frankie Kazarian and myself, we're still one of the best tag teams in the world, and so obviously regaining tag team gold is a priority for us. And I don't think that either one of us are done in terms of going towards a world heavyweight championship as well. You know, that's something that any professional wrestler sort of has, you know, as a goal in their career. I was fortunate enough to sort of gain that goal this year, but it's something that I feel like, you know, possibly I could do again. And so, you know, it's just a matter of wrestling each match as it comes and taking each opportunity as it comes my way and sort of maximizing the potential for, you know, keeping my career going and staying successful at this level that Ring of Honor sort of expects of its talent.
Well, I'm obviously thankful for your career and what it's done and what you've done so far and what we hope to see in 2018, whether it be a title reign or a tag team title reign. We'll see what happens. The future will unfold itself. But again, if people want to follow you, you have a Twitter account. Now, correct me if I'm saying this wrong, but is it it's FAC Daniels, F-A-C Daniels on Twitter?
Yeah, like Fallen Angel Christopher, F-A-C yes. Daniels. That's
exactly.
It.
Nice, nice. Anywhere else? Do you have an Instagram, Snapchat? Do you also promote your all the things you're doing on there as well, or is it just Twitter?
Just Twitter.
Okay.
You know, my Facebook, my Instagram is FA Christopher Daniels. But really, I'm a creature of Twitter, man. That's usually how I stay in touch with my fan base and let them know upcoming events that I'm involved with.
Well, Chris, I would wish you luck, but I don't think you need it because you've proven for 25 years you don't really need luck. You just need hard work. So I thank you so much for coming on the show, High Spot Podcast. We look forward to your tag team match at Ring of Honor Final Battle and the Hammerstein Ballroom. On behalf of the High Spot Podcast and the Jersey Rank Crew, as we call ourselves, we want to wish you and your family a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year and nothing but the best in 2018. So thank you so much.
Thanks, man. Thanks for having me, and thanks for everyone that listens and supports. You know, we wouldn't be where we are today without the fan base that supported us. So thanks, everyone. And yeah, happy holidays.
And that was the Fallen Angel, Christopher Daniels. You guys want to follow him and see what he's up to, not only towards the tail end here of 2017, but 2018 as well. Follow him on Twitter at FAC Daniels, all one word. And a special thanks goes out to MJK Public Relations for making it all happen. We thank you so much. And just a great interview with Christopher Daniels, because you really see the perspective of him. He seems to be such a centered guy, very humble, knows what he's doing. He's been doing it long enough, as you could tell in the interview, that he knows who he is as an individual. He knows who he is as a performer. And I couldn't just been more happy to ask him all the nuances you want to know, because, you know, for doing it for 25 years, you would like to think we're doing anything for 25 years straight up as a job. There's always wear and tear and grind. And so to do it that long in such a competitive field, which is professional wrestling, it's just simply nothing short than amazing to me. And when you talk to him, it's like, it's just every day for him is just a newer day to learn new things and to go out there and perform and do his job. And he does it better than anybody else I know right now. So, and that wraps it up for us, guys. Thank you so much for listening to this special episode, High Spot Podcast, Ring of Honor Final Battle Special Edition, with our guest, the Fallen Angel, Christopher Daniels. Make sure also to listen to our show, High Spot Podcast, episode 104. We have Jack Swagger on as well, talking about his endeavors now and his pursuit of mixed martial arts, what he's still doing on the indie scene, and also maybe talk about a little college football, you know, Oklahoma Sooners and maybe their likelihood of winning the national championship. So we have all that with Jack Swagger. Such a great guest to have on the show too, and just a joy to talk to him for the amount of time we did. So can't wait to have him and Christopher Daniels back on the show in the near future as well. So guys, that's it for me, the trendsetter Brian Berga. You have been listening to the High Spot Podcast. Make sure you catch us on Twitter at High Spot Podcast, as well as Instagram, Snapchat as well. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/High Spot Podcast. Visit our website, highspotpodcast.com. Leave us a 5-star rating review on iTunes. We're also available on iTunes, SoundCloud, Google Play, Stitcher, Poppy, and you have no excuse not to listen to us, folks. If you want to watch us, check out our YouTube channel. We're going to post so many more episodes on there, too. You're going to see us talking to the talent. You're going to see my ugly face, unfortunately. I apologize for that in advance. But check out our YouTube channel as well. Like, subscribe, hit that button. Be a follower of the crew. High Spot Podcast on YouTube. So, guys, thank you so much. I hope you guys enjoy Ring of Honor Final Battle. I hope you guys enjoy the rest of the weekend. Such a great time for professional wrestling towards the tail end of 2017. Couldn't think of a better way to end 2017 with a bang. So, guys, you have been listening to the High Spot Podcast. On behalf of Jeff Martin, I am the trendsetter, Brian Berga. We are the Jersey Rank Crew. Have a glorious, wonderful weekend. And just remember, the weekends and pro wrestling are for the crew.